powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Monday Night Football. Or as I've been saying all morning, Curtis, waiting all night for Monday night. Because I can't be waiting all week for it. Seattle Seahawks facing off against the Philadelphia Eagles. It'll be the first in a pretty easy stretch of games for Seattle. They have really a great opportunity here to run the table on these teams. But it all starts tonight with a game against Carson Wentz, a struggling Philadelphia Eagles offense. Now, before we preview this game for you guys, and we'll get into Bold Take Monday, by the way, a special Monday game day edition of Bold Take Friday. So you can start sending those in right now. Visi Hard Seltzer text line 710-710. Get your bold takes in, trademark. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, two things you need to know about tonight. Number one, before the Seahawks even hit the field, they've already been launched back into first place thanks to the 49ers win over the Rams. Thank you, 49ers. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
We owe you one. Second thing you need to know is that even though this is considered a weaker opponent on their schedule on the outside, and that makes sense statistically, yeah, it doesn't mean, Jake, that the Seahawks don't have anything to prove tonight.
No, certainly does not mean that. And with the Cardinals and the Rams losing yesterday, this is an opportunity that the Seahawks cannot, Stacey, let them pass by. They have to reclaim the driver's seat of the NFC West. When you have opportunities like this, you don't let them slip. And tonight is game one of that four-game stretch that we talked about, Stacey, earlier, about this is the opportunity that is laid in front of you for this team to build themselves into a legitimate championship team. Because as of right now, I think that they're among the best in the NFC, but I can't confidently say that this group will run the table when it comes playoff time all the way to the Super Bowl. As we have said, and as you just mentioned, they have more to prove, and this is their first opportunity in a four-game stretch where they can do just that and work out all their kinks, get on the same page, and start playing like they can. Because, as I said before, they have the highest ceiling of any team in the league.
Now, the Seahawks can't prove tonight that long-term they've made huge changes on defense because, frankly, you can't really prove in one game what will have been maybe your third or fourth game with a decent pass rush that you've completely turned a corner. You just cannot do that. But there are some things they can show us tonight to make us believe they're taking the right steps forward. I've got two. Jake, I'll let you get started with yours.
Okay. Stacey, as we're talking about this, my blood's pumping. I'm so excited for
tonight.
Good. I can't wait to see this game. Now, with that being said, some of the keys. First of all, they need to bring the fight to Philly. Not a legit fist fight, Stacey. No, not asking for
no,
them
I want another
to
fight
get in a fight. Okay, so you want another fight. All right, we'll see if we do that. We'll see if DK Metcalf, you know, tells, you know, Dre Kirkpatrick, you know, hey, somebody like that, hey, good game. And they get, you know, wildly upset when
after DK
compliments them.
Him.
Yeah, you know, hey, great game. Hey, that was really
job.
Good coverage there.
Yeah.
That was a great tackle.
Solid.
What? You told me a good game? What? But they need to bring the fight to Philly. And I want to see not one, but multiple Seahawk defenders swarming the ball carrier. You know, they started to play better defense. They started to play more as a cohesive unit. But they need to start swarming to the ball. I think that they need to make a statement early in this game. And sorry to be a little aggressive here, Stacey, but they need to pop them in the mouth. And they need to let the Philadelphia Eagles know.
Oh, but I'm a bad guy for wanting a fight.
From the very jump that they're going to be in for a long, punishing 60 minutes of football. That's what the Seahawks need to send a statement of, both offensively and defensively. That's one of the keys. What about you, Stace?
I had one of mine being that literally what you need to show me is to get sacks. And I don't mean just like one. I don't even mean two. I mean three minimum. It's what you've been able to average for the past couple weeks, and Carlos Dunlap being in there has really helped that. The return of Jamal Adams has helped that. But the Eagles' offensive line has given up 40 sacks of Carson Wentz, and we had Ruben Frank on with us on the huddle last week, and he said a lot of those are Carson Wentz's fault. So not only do you have an Eagles offensive line that's now in its 10th iteration in 11 weeks, but you also have a quarterback who can't make decisions or get rid of the football in time. So you've got two recipes for success for your pass rush there. I think you have like maybe no excuse but to get three sacks here. I mean, they're giving up just a little under four sacks per game, and you're averaging about three. I mean, this is your opportunity. This is your moment, Jake. You got to do it.
Well, the Seahawks have definitely turned the corner in terms of being able to dial up and generate pressure. But to go along those lines, Stacey, the Eagles' offensive line tonight, there is only one starter on their offensive line, and that is Jason Kelce at center. Everybody else is moved around, mixed pieces, backups to backups. I mean, this is an offensive line that is struggling to throw out a lineup across their five. And so if you're Carlos Dunlap, if you're Jaron Reed, you're the rest of this group, you should be feasting tonight. So I absolutely think that they should get that done. And Stacey, I think they should be generating five sacks, and I don't think it's that bold to say so. They should absolutely make this a nightmare situation for Carson Wentz tonight. One of the other things that I think is going to be really important in order for us to see them taking the right steps moving forward is the idea of them offensively continuing to stay balanced, but Russell having a stellar night. The reality is, and I know people want to change it and make this narrative that, oh, they won their game because they were more balanced, because they were running the ball. Oh, they need to do this moving forward. No, that's not exactly true. This offense still needs to go through Russ. This still needs to go through Russell Wilson. And in order for them to win a Super Bowl, they need Russell Wilson to perform at an MVP caliber level, at the level of play that he had in the first five games of the season. Again, it doesn't mean run-pass ratio needs to be a certain number, but Russell needs to be playing at an MVP caliber level in order for us to continue to believe that this team is absolutely taking the right steps as a legitimate championship caliber team.
Yeah, I completely agree. One last one for me right before we get into bold takes. Keep sending those in, by the way. 710-710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Make them good. Make them bold, right? Like, you're not going to be held accountable here. I'm not going to maybe call you out if you were right or wrong the following day. I've never done that before. And I never plan on doing that. Your guys' bold takes are safe here. So take a risk, right? Be bold, underline, bold. Send
I hope
it in.
Nick and Yakima is listening.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know her. Anyways, the last thing I want to say is that it is vitally important that the Seahawks tonight manage to stop Miles Sanders. He's Philadelphia's best offensive weapon right now. Their pass game has been awful. I'm sure that there are optimistic Philly fans, the kind that don't throw batteries, that are looking at silver linings, thinking like, oh, Carson Wentz has a chance to get right, against the league's worst passing defense. I don't think that's going to happen, but I also don't know that Philly will completely turn against the run. If you're able to hang your hat on one thing as a defense, it's been your run defense. Don't let that falter tonight. Do not let them get going, and don't give them the chance to be two-dimensional in any way. You want to stop Miles Sanders. So we're going to get back into these a bit later in the show. Jake has a lot more kind of keys to the game, things that they can do tonight, that they must do tonight to make us feel comfortable and prove to us that they're taking a big step forward in the NFC race. Before that, though, let's get to Bold Take Monday.
It's time for Bold Take
Monday.
Curtis, that was beautiful. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful edit there.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go first this time around because mine's very quick. I think that we are going to tonight see Jalen Hurts in at quarterback. This comes from ESPN's Tim McManus. His report that Jalen Hurts is taking first team snaps in practice. I think that the Doug Peterson has been incredibly hesitant to commit to transitioning on from Carson Wentz, and it makes sense. He's in a bit of a weird spot. He's not handling it well, but he's in a bit of a weird spot where the front office has given Carson Wentz this extension and also decided to bring in this quarterback that is now creating a quarterback controversy. And Doug Peterson's like, well, do I just let millions of dollars sit on the bench? Do I turn the reins over to a rookie? I don't know what to do here. I think that this might be the night they do it. And I think that this actually stems from Carson Wentz being sacked so many times. He is on pace to finish like top five most sacked quarterbacks. It is not looking pretty for them. And I think that Doug Peterson had to take a hard look in the mirror, and whether or not he believes that Jalen Hurts is a better player, had to accept that, like, there's a chance Carson Wentz could get hurt, could get taken out of a game pretty soon here. He's been sacked 40 times. I have to get Jalen Hurts ready. I think my bold take is that I think we see him at quarterback, I'm talking under center, not some special package, under center at quarterback for at least one full quarter. Jake.
Okay. All right. I mean, that will lead to a couple different things. Either A, Carson Wentz has gotten himself hurt and is playing in a shell of himself, or you have Jalen Hurts, who has been showing this coaching staff that for a couple days now in practice that he's shown that he might be able to provide a spark. And I think that when you have a guy like Jalen Hurts, sometimes his mobility and his strength, I mean, he's a strong dude. He's a guy who was in his career has dabbled a little bit in Olympic lifting and competing in Olympic lifting. This is a strong guy. And when you have offensive line problems like this, a guy like Jalen Hurts at quarterback might be able to move the ball better in this particular game than Carson Wentz. So we'll see. We'll see how that unfolds. I'm not really worried about either or, whether it's Wentz or Hurst in this game. But my bold take is centered around the biggest offseason acquisition that you had this year, and that is Jamal Adams. And during the week, we all kind of missed it. We didn't get to talk about it because we were off the air and we were all enjoying our Thanksgiving holiday weekend. But Jamal Adams, very fiery and very upset during his, I wouldn't say upset, but very fiery in his press conference. I want you guys to listen to this cut. You know, I believe it's Joe Fan of NBC Sports Northwest who asks him about his coverage, and this was his response.
I've had one bad play versus Diggs, Stephon Diggs versus the Bills, and I went from, you know, being one of the guys that can take away all the tight ends to all of a sudden can't cover. So to answer your question, brother, you know, I'm fine, man. I'm doing fine in coverage. I haven't been in a lot of man situations, believe it or not. But, you know, things can change, and I'm looking forward to those things changing.
Believe it or not, brother. Yeah, he's talking to you, Joe. Believe it or not, he's doing fine. In his opinion, he's doing fine. And he wasn't mad at Joe for asking the question, but I think he's heard that noise across social media, and I'm glad Joe asked the question, because I think with Jamal Adams revealing his frustration, I think you're going to see his best game of the season. I think Jamal Adams is going to have 10-plus tackles. I think he's going to have 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. And Stacey, he's going to have his first interception as a Seahawk.
Okay.
Jamal Adams is bringing it. They're bringing the energy, bringing the fire, bringing the passion. He's getting more and more comfortable in this defensive scheme, in this system. And I think that that's going to lend itself to him, you know, feasting on really an Eagles offense that is struggling and is barely getting themselves out on the field tonight.
I like that one. I think, too, that this is the opportunity to do it, right? You have a quarterback who's thrown 14 interceptions this season that leads all passers. So there's an opportunity there for Jamal Adams. Got to prove it, though, man. You got to get out there and actually play well in coverage. I want to give him bulletin board material every week. I want to be like the thorn in his side that he obviously doesn't know exists, that's just constantly like, I don't know, Jamal Adams might be too petite to sack Josh Allen. And I don't know if he can get an interception from Carson Wentz. I mean, his accuracy is just so great. Let's look at some of the bold takes coming in on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We've got, guys, look, here's the thing. I appreciate this bold take, but I don't like the implication that the Eagles defense will get more points than the Eagles offense. Does that not also imply a pick six in there? I don't like that. I don't
or
like that at all.
Scoop and score, something like
scoop
that.
Scoop and score, some kind of thing that I'm not loving right now. Or it's a total blowout. I don't think it will be, though. I think the Eagles will get points on the board, but I like the idea of the Eagles offense just being atrocious. Hopefully not at the expense of the Seahawks offense, though. Let's see. You've also got Will Disley, number one receiver on both sides in terms of targets and yards. And this 253 standing behind their bold take adds, lock that bold take up. Lock
wow.
it up.
Okay. Lock it up.
I like how they said it with their chest.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with the take, but the delivery was excellent.
Yeah. You got to have confidence. If you're going to come out and step out and throw out a bold take, you got to do it with confidence. So I could definitely get down with that. I don't think that Will Dissly is going to be the leading receiver of this game. I actually think that this is a game where DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett should feast. They're going to get plenty of one-on-one opportunities out on the edge. And I know that they have Darius Slay, but you know DK Metcalf's a different animal. And he's a guy that's going to give everybody problems. And if you go one-on-one with him, you're begging for a long night.
Now, related to that, someone else kind of in your line of thought here, Jake, the 360 says, bold take Monday, DK and Tyler Lockett combined for more receiving yards tonight than Tyreek Hill and Kelsey. 351 did yesterday from Dan in Vancouver.
Wow. That's bold, I like it. Dan. I like it, Dan. That is bold. Very bold. That'd be historic, this would be a game where they have an opportunity to really take advantage of those matchups, as I just said. We're seeing, Stacey, a lot of, defense pitches a shutout, defense gets five sacks, they get, here from the 253, this is just plain reckless. He says, bold take, 5-5. Five sacks, five takeaways. That's absolutely absurd.
Ooh, five takeaways is what makes me.
Yikes.
I could believe five sacks. I could absolutely buy five sacks for this Eagles offensive line versus a Seahawks defensive line that is heating up at least. Like, that's been the one bright spot for 3 weeks. Five takeaways?
Right.
Ooh,
well, that's not just interceptions, right? I mean, that's fumbles too, and Carson has really struggled to hold onto the ball in either category. And if you're going to generate a lot of pressure, and this is where I actually feel for Carson a little bit, Stacey, he has zero weapons out on the field. He's had zero consistency. He has had zero consistency across his offensive line. I believe this is the 10th combination that the Eagles are going to roll out there in terms of their offensive line. I know that a lot of this has been self-inflicted, but also he's playing with nothing, right? And so you're blaming this guy for playing horribly, and every quarterback handles it differently, but I mean, he's got nothing around him.
Yeah.
And so I just feel for him. He's on an island on his own, and he's obviously not handling it well. But this Seahawks pass rush should be able to cause a lot of havoc, force him into a lot of bad decisions.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's get to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Following Oregon's loss to the Beavers, the Huskies now have the inside track to the Pac-12 title game for the Pac-12 North, which we played on December 19th. But that date's also been sort of designated for a makeup Apple Cup if UW does not qualify for the Pac-12 title game. So, if you're a Husky fan, would you rather go to the Pac-12 title game on December 19th or make up the Apple Cup on the same day?
I'll tell
Husky
you what
alumni.
I would do. Yeah, I'll go first.
You go ahead first.
And you know what? It's so kind of you to do that, Jake, because what I want to see, Curtis, is neither of those. What I want to see is BYU finally answer the call.
Whoa!
Forget the Pac-12 title game. Forget the Apple Cup. I'm over it. What I want, BYU, let's go. Let's go. That's what I want. I would go Pac-12.
Get out of here.
Pac-12.
Oh, we can't commit to a game. Oh, we just can't do it. The Pac-12 rules won't let us.
You made your Twitter bed with your tweet about any team, any place, any time. It's your turn to lie in it. I'm going Pac-12 title game.
But they weren't scared of that game. I agree with you. It is about the Pac-12 title game. Anytime, I mean, look, sorry, Wazoo fans, but You're going to be out of it, and it looks like UW has a great chance of playing in this Pac-12 title game. That's what you go for, because also you have a unique opportunity. I mean, they've only played three games, and now all of a sudden they're ranked, and they played three games where they won in final quarter of the game against Oregon State. They beat up a really bad Arizona team, and then they have a come from behind victory against Utah. And they're ranked 25. So this is just a really weird year. So my point being is not to knock their victories, is just to say that with every victory that UW has, they're actually gaining momentum in terms of ranking and potentially where they could be in a, you know, a bowl game. I'm not saying they're going to make a New Year's Six game bowl, but they could face a really, you know, fun, interesting opponent that would actually be a momentum builder for them if they continue to keep winning. So I think the Pac-12 title, you always want to go for it all and play the best and play in the highest stakes. And I think that that's what UW's eyes are after right now. And it will be sad if there is no Apple Cup played, but I think that that is probably a high likely outcome.
Number two.
Broncos forced to use practice squad wide receiver Kendall Hinton as their quarterback yesterday. Just 24 hours notice, he completes one pass against the Saints. Broncos lose 31-3. Could either of you complete more than one pass against an NFL defense on 24 hours notice?
Jake, why don't you go first?
I would say confidently yes, okay, that I could complete more than one pass. I think that I could do okay. I could do okay out there. It wouldn't be pretty, but certainly a lot better than what we saw from the Denver's Bronco quarterback. And I feel bad for him. I mean, hey, he got paid. He got a nice game check. He was sitting on the practice squad. He got, you know, $35,000 in the bank. So I'm not feeling too sorry for him. But, I mean, what an awful position to be in. I mean, knowing that you don't belong anywhere near that field at the quarterback position, yet you're going to give it your best shot for your team due to some ridiculous circumstances. I think I could do more than one.
I think the fact they didn't have five takeaways or five interceptions is enough of a win for them. I know it was an abysmal loss, but it could have been even worse, right? It was basically like, just don't do anything. We'll see if we can win the game on the ground somehow or on defense. I can confidently say no. And in fact, I think that more people would not be able to than they think. Like, congratulations if you played maybe a little bit in high school or junior high or whatever, but I can't stress this enough. Playing in a football game in the NFL, the average person would be demolished, like absolutely demolished. Even if you tried to heave it away, like there are players that are going to bat it down, it's going to be intercepted. I just think that the average person, I don't know if they could. I really don't.
I believe Hinton played quarterback for three years
in
college.
He did, for Wake Forest, right?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And that's a great point, because it also goes to show the difference in terms of talent and ability at every single level. From high school to college, from college to the pros, you just see that difference. And you know, I think that it is a great reminder of how talented these guys are, even some of the average to below average quarterbacks in the NFL are still pretty darn good in all things considered. They are the 1%, less than 1% of you know, players that are trying to play at the highest level. So, you know, you have to give them respect in that aspect.
All right.
Number three.
How would the Seahawks handle a situation like San Francisco finds themselves in, where they can't play in their home city for the time being?
That is a really interesting question, because I kept thinking about, like, where would they go? What would they do? And I would love, this would never happen, but I think it would be awesome if the Seahawks were playing games in the Tacoma Dome. There's no way that they could do it. I played three, you know, championships there, and the field is terrible. I'm sorry to all those at the Tacoma Dome. Your field's terrible. I wish there was a way that you could make it better. And I wish that high school football was still played in the Tacoma Dome, which I think is an absolute travesty. But I don't know. I mean, do they go to Eastern? Do they go all the way to Eastern Washington? What do they do?
I mean, you just have to get out of King County, right?
Yeah, you'd have to get out of King County, but where are you going to go that's gonna house you? You could go up to up north into Snohomish area. Yeah. I know Bellingham has a stadium, but I don't know if there's anything that could really house an NFL game like that that's in this area outside of obviously UW and Lumen Field now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm sure they'd have to try the Tacoma Dome, but man, I feel for the 49ers. After they beat the Rams too, they're close friends of mine. So in my mind, I'm like, man, you guys, I'm so sorry. We're on the same page here. This is a bummer for you. All right, Mike Salk joins us next. This is Jake and Stacey.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Joining us right now is Mike Salk, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Good to be with you.
Good. Well, it is Monday Night Football. Seahawks playing the Eagles. I don't think anyone necessarily fears Carson Wentz, but because he used to be 2017 version of Carson Wentz, there's like a little tiny piece of me, like on a scale of I'll allow it 0 to 10 with zero no fear at all, I'm like a 2 that potentially he could have like a nice couple, you know, passes in there. Where are you on the potential breakout scale for Carson Wentz? 0. I'll allow 0. No worry at all. To 10, worried for this game.
This will probably lead into my bold take, and maybe my bold take will answer this question for you for today. I think after this game, it will be very clear that Jalen Hurts is their number one quarterback next week. I believe in Jalen Hurts. I don't believe in Carson Wentz. And I don't know whether that means Hurts is going to turn himself into a franchise quarterback or not. He may just not be able to throw the ball accurately enough in an NFL system to be able to do that. But I think he's a winner, has won always, both at Alabama and then at Oklahoma. I'm a fan of his, and I see him being successful in the NFL, and maybe not in a traditional sense, in a traditional offense, but I think they've got a creative enough coaching staff that can work around him. I think coming off of this game, whether it's because he plays some and shines, whereas Wentz fails, or Wentz just ultimately doesn't do well against a lousy defense, whatever the case may be, I just think that we'll know for sure coming out of this that the Eagles have made a quarterback switch.
It's really fascinating after you see Doug Peterson, you know, over the last couple of weeks, really defend Carson Wentz and say that he's not going to make a change there. Now all of a sudden, you know, Hurts is getting first team reps during practice. It just makes me wonder what they think they're going to get if they bring Hurts in. Do they think they're going to get that spark? Because Salk, I mean, the team that they're going to be rolling out there tonight on Monday Night Football, at least on the offensive side of the ball, it's crazy. It's crazy. This will be the 10th. Lineup change on the offensive line, and they only have one starter from their original group that will be playing tonight. A lot of backups, even backups to backups. Do any of those guys have success, Carson or Hurts?
Well, look, I mean, I think it's going to be challenging for either one of them, but just because of Hurts' ability to move, right? I mean, he's as elusive as anybody. I mean, you know, certainly there with the Kyler Murrays of the world, etc. So I think he probably gives them a better chance to win moving forward. I think they've got to find out what he's capable of now more than halfway through a rookie season. I think they'll probably end up making that switch. But from a Seahawks perspective, you've got to find a way to feast off of this offensive line, right? I mean, you are coming in reasonably healthy now. Snacks has now had enough time to adjust. You've got Rasheem Green back. You've got LJ Collier playing well. You've got Carlos Dunlap. I mean, like, Kuhn has been playing well. I mean, Reed, this is your defensive front now that you're ready to move forward with. Go get right against a really atrocious and confused offensive line. Wreak some havoc on the quarterback. Do some damage. Allow your secondary to get involved because you're hurrying the quarterback and forcing him to make decisions before he wants to make them. And you really should be able to springboard this off for the next couple of weeks against a bunch of teams that aren't a whole lot better than the Eagles.
Okay, Mike, I'm ready for your bold take.
Well, I guess that was it. I sort of gave it. I mean, the bold take is essentially that coming out of this game, the Seahawks will ensure the fact that Jalen Hurts is the starter for the Eagles. And I think that's a combination of what they do to Wentz. And I'm going to guess here that Hurts has a little bit more success against the Seahawks than Wentz does, which is why you end up seeing him start next week.
So we'll see. Okay, so my bold take was that Hurts starts for at least a quarter. I guess not starts the game, but is under center for at least a quarter. Do you think we'll see more of him than that?
Yeah, I think you're about right. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe if he comes in and starts the second half or something like that. But I feel pretty convinced that Wentz is not the guy and that Hurts at least deserves a chance in Philadelphia. I don't mean to make this about the Eagles, but I think the Seahawks are going to force that into being a reality. And it's not because this defense is incredible. I think we all know they're flawed, and we've seen them play flawed against quarterback. I mean, we saw it against Matt Schaub. We saw it last year in the playoffs against the Eagles. What was it? Who do they have? Coy Detmer? Who was it who was playing for them? No, it wasn't Coy Detmer. It was
Josh McCown.
The best
Josh
available
McCown.
McCown instead of the best available right. Detmer. They might as well have gone That's with right. the best available Heward. It wouldn't have been much better. And yet, they didn't have a problem. Guy is out running Ziggy Ansah out there. So, you know, we've seen them make bad quarterbacks look good. I think they're between the offensive line problems and the quarterback problems, and then just even the weaponry that they have in Philly right now. I think this is a chance for the Seahawks defense to get right.
Salk, did the surprising losses yesterday within the NFC West tell you anything?
Well, look, I mean, that's the NFL. I mean, you know, anytime you think you've got a beat on this league or on a team in this league, they turn right around and show you exactly the opposite. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the Rams looked like world beaters. I watched most of that game yesterday, and they were a completely different team. I mean, you know, when you see their quarterback, Jared Goff, against any team other than the Seahawks, he looks completely mortal or worse than that. And then all of a sudden he shows up against this squad and he looks like, you know, Tom Brady in his prime. It's bizarre. I'm still not a believer in San Francisco. I know they won that game, but and they look a little better with some healthy guys back, but they just don't have the quarterback play to show me that they're a contender. And Arizona's going to be like this, I think, for this year. They're up and down, capable of beating anybody any week, capable to lose to anybody of any week. Also, just because of a young quarterback and still a young team, even a young coach who's sort of growing into it. So they're one of those dangerous teams you don't want to play, but they're going to still lose games like that. I think that it was a good reminder, though, that the Rams just aren't. They're not the world beaters they appear when they play the Seahawks.
A last quick question for us here, Mike. For tonight's game, I know most people feel pretty confident the Seahawks will win, but which player on Seattle squad has to have a great game?
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson's always going to be the answer to that, but I'd really like to see them continue to get the running game going, and I know that there's going to be people throwing things at their radio as I say that right now.
Well,
but
we get it. You're obsessed with
Derrick
Henry.
Well, Derrick Henry looked so good yesterday. I watched a lot of that game for sure. But when Carson is doing his thing, I want to see a healthy Chris Carson. I want to see what that looks like for this offense now moving forward. And I want to see what their cornerbacks can look like, too, if I have to go to another spot. I mean, can Shaquille Griffin return and sort of cover a guy like Alshon Jeffrey? If he can, and he can show that he can be the guy that he's threatened to become over the last few years. I mean, with a better pass rush now in front of him, I think that completely changes what they're capable of.
He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right. Jalen Hurts, like we mentioned, has reportedly been getting first-team reps in Philadelphia. Are the Seahawks going to see him under center tonight? That's next on Jake and Stacey.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It's game day. Seahawks facing off against the Eagles tonight. And we got an interesting quarterback situation unfolding in Philly, so let's take a quick look at it because it'll have an effect potentially on the Seahawks defense. So what you need to know is something we all know. Carson Wentz has been having his worst season as a pro, and it's not close. He's leading the league in interceptions, has the lowest completion percentage. Think of a quarterback stat. He's not doing great. Like, he is failing at it. He is like 32 out of 32 in most cases. It makes the selection of Jalen Hurts that much more interesting. When it happened, we all saw that Philly had already given Carson Wentz an extension. We were wondering what Philly was doing with Jalen Hurts. Maybe they're bringing him in as a project, or maybe he's a plan for the future. Either way, it didn't quite make sense because it pits you in a quarterback controversy almost immediately. That controversy heats up after Carson Wentz's season. Despite all of this, Carson Wentz's struggles and calls for Jalen Hurts, head coach Doug Peterson has been adamant that the team is not switching on from Wentz in cut number 9.
Is Carson my starter? He's my starter. End of story. And you guys can blow it up however you want it, and that's fine. I'm focused on these team, this players, this coaching staff, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Interesting you say that, Doug, because according to Tim McManus of ESPN, a report that came out yesterday, Jalen Hurts now taking first-team reps in practice. It's not completely unheard of, and Jake, you know this, for people who aren't normally first-teamers to take those reps, especially as a safety precaution. Carson Wentz has been sacked 40 times. But it is starting to look like, certainly, the team is at least seriously considering moving on from Wentz for this season, something that even a week or two ago, they were adamant they were not going to do, seems very real. We're wondering now if that happens against Seattle.
Well, you also wonder what brings this on, right? It's not just, obviously, Carson Wentz's play. But when you have Doug Peterson, who, after his post-game presser and during the week, as we just heard, saying, no, Carson is going to start, right? So we know that Carson Wentz is going to start the game. But is there going to be a mix of Jalen Hurts being played in the game? Maybe. Or are they looking for the first sign of trouble for Wentz to take him out of the game? Like, what situation is going to prompt them to want to bring in Jalen Hurts? Because I got to tell you, Stacey, it could provide a spark. And as a quarterback and a backup quarterback, to get your introduction into the NFL, you're not going to be picky. Right, you're going to take every advantage, every opportunity that you get if you're Jalen Hurts. But man, what a bad situation you might be throwing your second round mm-hmm. pick, Jalen Hurts, out into to try and provide a spark that might not even be there. Right? I mean, that's the thing I feel for in this case. Is I'm not even thinking about Carson Wentz. I'm thinking about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, because to me, I'm just assuming that Hurts might be okay, and that's in part shaded by his production at Oklahoma. And I know that there's no comparison between college and the pros, but he was so dynamic there with 52 combined touchdowns.
What did he have at Oklahoma, Stacey? He had dudes. He had a really good offensive line. He had really good receivers.
I'm not saying he'd have that same production. He would not have that same production in the league. That's not what I'm saying. But don't you think there's a possibility he could be better than Wentz immediately?
Yes, he could be. But I'm saying that I think talent-wise, he could be. And there's something to say about not being in that pocket for all those games that Carson Wentz has been. And you start to get gun shy a little bit, because you're going to take the hits and you know what's coming, and you know that your receivers aren't necessarily getting open for you or winning when they should. And so somebody like Jalen Hurts comes in with a different kind of swagger and confidence versus Wentz. That could be the difference there. But I also think that you're putting this young man in a really bad position, right? And asking him to be the spark for your team in a desperate situation to say, hey, nothing's working right now, but we're just going to roll Hurts out there and hope that just something positive happens. It's a really crummy position to be in. And obviously, we'll see at what point in the game they end up making that decision. If it comes to that, mm-hmm. You just hope that Hurts if it's a close game, obviously I don't want Hurts to succeed. But if they're down 24-0 or multiple scores and they're not playing well, I wouldn't mind seeing Hurts, have some success out there, just because I don't want him to be, rolled out into a really bad situation. And I'm just speaking from a pure quarterback perspective.
Completely.
Here.
But if you're a Philly fan and you really think that Hurts is going to be the answer that will help catapult you guys, to the top of your division, or help you secure again the top of your division, like, sorry, you're not being smart about this. Like, there's so many things wrong with your football team. I think that Hurts could be an immediate impact because of his mobility. I think that that's something where Carson is taking a lot of sacks. We had Ruben Frank on, and he said, look, at least half of those sacks are on Carson. He's not moving. He looks like a deer stuck in the headlights there, and he's making poor decisions. You could hypothetically erase at least some of that with a quarterback who's going to be moving quickly, even just throwing the ball away, doing something. And I know that you're going to make rookie mistakes, and I do feel for him going into a bad situation, but I don't know. What I worry about instead is what Seattle's defense is going to have to deal with him out there. And I know that it's a rookie quarterback. If I was playing fantasy football and I knew that Jalen Hurts was starting for the Eagles, I would start the defense playing them. I mean, it's the same thing I did for Joe Burrow in week one, and maybe that wasn't the smartest thing, but it's like you just assume that a rookie quarterback in his first start is going to struggle against any NFL defense. That said, I do wonder what your defense is going to deal with when they haven't been preparing for someone. And not only that, but Jalen Hurts hasn't had that many snaps with Philly. Like, he hasn't really played truly under center for them. He's been part of, like, special play right. packages, but you haven't seen what he looks like as a quarterback with Philadelphia.
Well, and the Seahawks have seen that before, where you've had a struggling quarterback play a majority of the game, and then you have a backup quarterback that comes in and is very successful. That's what happened when they played the 49ers earlier this season. Jimmy Garoppolo had 84 yards going into the fourth quarter, and Nick Mullins comes in and finishes the game with, you know, 18 to 25, 238 yards and two touchdowns, and a QB rating of 128. So, yeah, a quarterback can provide a spark for you, and he can change the dynamic of the game. To me, I hope, and I'm praying, Stacey, when we talk about certain keys to the game or certain things that we're looking for to see if this defense is going on the right track, little moments, if they make the change from Wentz and they're having success to Hurts, and all of a sudden Hurts is dicing up this defense, that is going to be troublesome to me. That I am going to be worried about that, because that tells me that you're feasting on a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo earlier this season that just is not the same guy. He's hurt, he's banged up, or he is mentally just worn down. And when you play a quarterback who isn't any of those things, that now you go back to looking like the defense that you have been the majority of the year. I hope that it would continue to keep going that same way, that the defense would continue to still generate pressure and the defense would still be able to play really solid coverage on the back end.
Yeah, I guess what's working in their favor at least is that win over Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. If you didn't have that, I'd feel the same way, where I'd be like, well, who have you played that you're actually containing? But you contained Murray, and I know people will point to a shoulder injury and say he was dealing with that, but he still made some solid throws after that, and he was still certainly mobile, and they managed to shut him down. So that win does help your argument a lot, but it's one win. I mean, you need to shut down Carson Wentz. I actually do think that we will see Jalen Hurts tonight, and that doesn't sound like I had someone saying, like, that's not a very bold take. I see why you'd say that, but again, I can't stress enough, Doug Peterson has been adamant that they are not switching from Carson Wentz, and you can see why he's saying that. This isn't, Joe Flacco or someone where if you give them the reins, Fitzpatrick, if you give them the reins, there's not a true controversy because people know it's eventually going to go back to your starter. That's not clear with Carson Wentz. If you give the reins to Jalen Hurts, even if it's just a quarter, if he plays well, that might be the end of Carson Wentz's career with Philadelphia, which is shocking because they have something like $60 million in dead money with him. I mean, it's
correct.
A weird situation,
yes,
that they put themselves in.
Yes, they are tied. The moment that they drafted Jalen Hurts, this was one of those things that you knew was going to be an uh-oh moment. And I don't think they had any intention of it being leading to a controversy at the end of this season, but that's exactly the step that they put themselves in. You're absolutely right, Stacey, and that's why this decision for Doug Peterson, if he puts Jalen Hurts in the game and plays him, you are putting a lot on the line for this franchise financially, the direction that you're heading in. It says a lot about your future potentially. So you're not making this decision just on a whim. This is a very well thought out process. And it also is having to do with the fact that Doug Peterson's just looking at this game and saying, yeah, Carson Wentz just doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have it. We need
so
to make
weird.
A change, and we need to do something different. And you just feel bad for a guy who was playing at an MVP level, in 2017, and so quickly has found his way into a really troublesome fork in the road of his career.
It's hard not to feel like so much of that is mental, too. We're going to get into this a little bit more. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. What does this game ultimately come down to? We've been talking about defense all day, and I do think that's important, but I don't actually think that's what wins this game. We'll tell you what or who does next.